You are listening to Everyday Global Anglicans, a podcast produced by GAFCON, Global Anglican Future Conference. This podcast and other resources are made possible by people like you. Please help us to continue making these resources available by visiting us at gafcon.org. GAFCON's mission is to guard the unchanging, transforming gospel of Jesus Christ and to proclaim him to the world. Hello, my name is Ernie Dito, and I'm the Communications Director for GAFCON and the regular host for Everyday Global Anglicans. We're joined today by Craig Roberts, who is the Network Leader for the Youth and Children Ministry at GAFCON. He is also the CEO of Anglican Youth Works, which has a vision to see an effective youth and children's ministry in every church. Its mission is to support the work of the gospel in churches and schools to present children, youth, and families mature in Christ. Craig has contributed and helped curate devotional content from Australian youth ministry workers for the Lift Up Your Hearts devotionals in the month of March. You can subscribe for free to these devotionals and receive them every weekday via email, and now you can subscribe to them via podcast audio. The devotionals have a particular focus on the role of intergenerational discipleship in the narrative of Scripture from beginning to end in Scripture. We'll also talk about the book on discipleship, which has been translated into Swahili, French, and a Burundian language, Kirundi. And finally, we touch on the loneliness crisis and what, in particular, most commonly draws young people to Jesus.
G'day, mate, or g'day, mate. I don't know how you quite say it right. Is that the proper
G'day, name? Mate. G'day, that's close enough.
Okay.
How you doing, mate?
I'm well. Howdy, I guess, is a stereotype you would say from our part of the world in the U.S.
Quite possibly. Greetings in the risen Lord Jesus Christ.
There you go, a proper Anglican.
Yeah.
Craig, you have helped to contribute to GAFCON's Lift Up Your Hearts devotionals for the month of March. What is your focus in pulling all of that together?
Yeah, our focus is on the emphasis of the network that I'm privileged to lead in GAFCON, which is the Youth and Children's Ministry Network. And so with some of my colleagues, we thought we would see where do younger people and older people in Scripture come together, and what is the relationship between the two? And so we started Genesis 1 and worked through salvation history. And we were delighted to see that right through salvation history, from one end of the Bible to the other, there is an emphasis, a key contour, if you like, of intergenerational discipleship. That is, older people, those who are more mature in the Lord, taking younger people, less mature Christians, under their wing, discipling them, passing the baton of faith to them. We see time and again, every Paul has a Timothy and every Timothy has a Paul. And that's going to be our focus, to encourage us to be investing in those intergenerational relationships and so to be storing up treasure in heaven.
Boy, I like the cut of your jib. I really like the sound of that. You know, it's undeniable, and everything you say, and as part of Youth Works, even on your page, I mean, that's the first thing. It says, my vision, I'm going to quote it, my vision is to see every generation teaching and encouraging every other generation so that under God, churches like yours flourish and the next generation is established to trust, love, and follow the Lord until he returns. So even in your mission statement, it's like discipleship. That's the core, right? I mean, that's the beginning and the end. Is that saying too much?
That's on the money, Ernie. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting, when I was asked, would I contribute 600-word devotions for the month of March? Before I went to Bible college, I was a chartered accountant, and so I quickly multiplied 600 by 25 and thought that's a lot of words that you want. Fortunately, at my organization, Youth Works here in Sydney, I've got quite a team around me, And so I got about 13 or 14 of my colleagues and asked them all to give me a 600-word devotion on a certain passage of scripture. I had no idea what they were going to come up with. And earlier in the week, I got them all in and read them through. And I was thrilled and delighted by the unity that is there in Scripture. Not some, there is unity among my team here in Sydney, don't get me wrong, but the unity of encouragement in Scripture for us who are mature in the Lord to be seeking those who are coming behind us to intentionally, actively, proactively pass on the baton of faith. So we were blessed in
That's
the
amazing.
preparing of these devotions, and I hope that our GAFCON family will be similarly blessed. We start with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and then we look at some famous parent-child relationships in Scripture, Moses and Isaac. We look at the young King David. When David was a boy, Goliath said, "What is this? You send a boy to do a man's job?" Yes, God used a boy, the boy David, to win a great victory for his people. And of course, as we who are privileged to sit this side of the cross and look back at Scripture, we see that the cross casts its shadow across the Old Testament narrative, and we see just hints, prefigurements of the great and perfect boy, the Lord Jesus, who would grow into the perfect man and do what we could never do, which is deal with our sins. And so we see that children are precious to God, young people are important to God, and they can even be used by God. Our young people are not Christians in waiting that we need to just somehow put into a holding pen of Sunday school until they can grow up. And I don't know what it's like with you or elsewhere in the world, but certainly in Sydney, the bane of church wardens and the older ladies who set out the morning tea after morning church is that this horde of locusts called the kids at Sunday school just come and take all the good biscuits and all the nice cakes. Well, we ought not see children as just nuisances and noisy young people to be contained until they can grow up and mature and so engage in the real ministry of church and of sitting under adult length sermons. No, right from the youngest age, children are to be taught. Psalm 78 says, "Each generation is to tell the next generation the wonders of the Lord." And so it's my conviction that we all ought to be in the business of telling the next generation the wonders of the Lord, the greatest wonder of all, that he should love us so much that he should send his son to die in our place for our sins and rise again, that we might be forgiven and have a sure and certain hope of heaven. That's the most wonderful news I've ever heard. And well, let's be in the business of sharing that with our children. With our nephews and nieces, with our grandchildren, with the young people in our church. And so I hope that this devotional series through the month of March will encourage us to have that heart and that desire that we see clearly right through the canonical witness of Scripture.
Excellent. Yes, you can for people who are listening, you can or maybe you're watching it through video, you know that you can get these now via audio podcast and subscribe to these. And we are seeing that increase. That is a service that just started last month. So you go to your, Spotify, Apple, iTunes, whatever, to subscribe to that. Now, Craig, you are the Children's and Youth and Children's Network leader for GAFCON. There are several networks, people don't know that GAFCON has. This is one of them. How are you carrying that vision globally and working and connecting with other youth workers in this?
Yeah, Ernie, it's been slow progress. I'm I'm an impatient person, and I haven't made the progress that I and others who met back in Jerusalem some years ago to found the network. What we are trying to do is to connect youth and children's ministers, youth and children's pastors from across the world, and share the best resources that we've all got, that each one of us might be able to take those resources and appropriate them in culturally appropriate ways into our own context. So, for example, what works in a big city youth group might not work in a rural setting or in an urban slum. And so we want to make sure that our youth and children's pastors are principled in what they do. And to do that, we want to ensure they've got the best quality, biblically faithful resources. So we've got a sharing portal that you can log in. It's a secure website where people can upload their resources, and they're moderated and then made available to share for everyone who is in the portal. But we're also trying to establish some training centres, some centres of excellence in youth and children's ministry, in a couple of centres in Africa. We're working to overcome some obstacles in that path. There's some of the things that we're looking to do in the youth and children's ministry network, because what we've found in the West, in Australia, in North America, and elsewhere, where a church intentionally invests, a local parish or a congregation intentionally invests in a ministry of discipleship, not childminding, but discipleship, of Christian formation in their young people, well, that church begins to flourish. Yep. It puts all the generations, not just the parents, but those whose kids have grown up, it puts the seniors, even those who don't have children, it puts them on a missional footing, a ministry footing in the church. And that's what we're finding. And in my conversations with church leaders in Africa, whether it's in South Africa, the South Sudan, in Kenya, in Burundi, they are asking for theologically sound, evangelically clear biblical resources and training for their youth ministers, so that their Sunday school teachers, their youth ministers, as they are wrestling with all the challenges that you've got in a local church trying to have a ministry to youth and children, they can be doing it from a biblically informed, principled standpoint, rather than just reacting and being sucked into perhaps a pragmatic solution to a problem that might not be in the best long-term spiritual interest of the young people.
Don't you have some sort of a book that has been translated now into several languages and you're looking to expand?
We do. That's a great question, Ernie. And as a television presenter in Australia says, that's a great question, and I'm glad you asked.
Softball pitch, they call it in the US.
That's right. Or for those of you who love cricket, it's a slower pitch, full toss, and I really hope I can clear the boundary fence with my answer. Yes, I'm privileged here in Sydney to be the CEO of an organisation called YouthWorks, which is an organisation under the Synod here in Sydney, and I've got I think it's unique in the world. I've got perhaps 150 employees, and of them, 9 are set apart to be youth and children's ministry advisors. They coach and mentor Sunday school teachers, youth group leaders, our scripture in schools teachers, and they have over the 20 or so years they've been doing this settled upon 7 principles for effective youth and children's ministry discipleship. And when I came to YouthWorks about 3 years ago, they were talking about these principles, and I said, this sounds like the YouthWorks secret sauce recipe. Where's it written down? Oh, it's not written down anywhere. Well, it should be. It sounds terrific. So I got my team, two guys, Ed and Matt, to write down the seven principles of effective youth discipleship. And they put it into a workbook. It's about 20 pages long. And it makes the case for each of these seven principles. And there's some tips on how you might implement each of those principles in your local church, irrespective of size and resource base. And then there's an interactive section in this PDF form where you, the youth pastor or the children's worker, you can reflect on how are you going in your local context at implementing these principles. And you can save those reflections, have a go at implementing some of the tips, come back in a few months' time and just check your answers and see the progress that you've made. Now, that's in English, and we're selling that at youthworksmedia.net for $20 Australian, but it's also available in French, Swahili and Kirundi for free.
Kirundi is for
at
what?
YouthWorks Media. Burundi. Mm-hmm. Burundi. If we've got a few moments, let me tell you a wonderful story that began the translation project. I just got the English version of this, and I got an email from Jean Jacques, who is one of the leaders in the Baptist Union of Burundi. And we arranged to, I think it was a Skype call. It was about midnight on a Monday, Sydney time. And this wonderfully godly and large African man, Jean Jacques, says, "Brother Craig," and I'll stop doing my African accent there, in this booming voice, "the church in Kirundi, in Burundi, is overflowing with young people. 50% of the congregation is under the age of 16. Our churches are overflowing because of civil war and of disease. And corruption and violence. We don't have the leaders, and I'm desperately concerned that we are not raising our children to be mature, lifelong disciples of Jesus. Can you help me? We have no money. Can you help me?" And I said, "Sure, Jean Jacques, I'll give you all the resources YouthWorks has got." And he said, "Oh, Brother Craig, that is wonderful. What languages are these resources in?" And I said, "Mate, what languages would you like them to be in?" And he said, "Ah, well, Kirundi is the heart language of my people, but Swahili is good, and we could do French as well. Leave it with me." We hung up, we prayed, we hung up, and I'd never heard of Kirundi as a language, and I Googled, sure enough, Kirundi is the language of Burundi. That was midnight on Monday. Then on the Friday, I was meeting a children's worker here in Sydney who wants some help in publishing her resources. And I said, "Why are you giving me all this wonderful resource for free to publish?" And she said, I want to bless the churches of Sydney with these resources." And I said, "I'll do you one better. Let's bless the churches of the world." "Don't suppose you know any Kirundi, do you?" And she said, "Oh, you mean the language of Burundi? How did you know that?" "Oh, well, Burundi Dave is our church worship pastor." So that afternoon, I'm on the phone to Burundi Dave, and he was almost in tears at the prospect of being able to translate this resource into his heart language. Turns out he's also fluent in Swahili. So he got underway. I knew I needed someone to check the translations. About a month later, I was preaching in a church in Sydney, and the minister interviewing me before I preached asked me an unscripted question. "What's something great that's happening in YouthWorks that reminds you that God is at work in our world?" So I told him the story of Burundi Dave, and he said, "Just after church, you've got to meet that lady over there, Esther."
So he didn't know that you were going to
Esther,
say that.
Esther, is it?
No,
he didn't. And I didn't know that Esther, another Burundian refugee, and her family were here in Sydney, and she used to work for the Office of Prime Minister and the Education Minister in Burundi, and her job was to translate stuff from English in and out of languages. And so between the two of them, we had a translator and a checker. And I reached out to an evangelical church in Paris to check the French version. And in God's providence, we now have them in those African languages. And I'm hoping that we might be able to move into Portuguese and Spanish. If there are some Portuguese, absolutely. So if there's anyone who's handy with English and Portuguese or Spanish, then please reach out to Ernie, who can put you in touch with me.
I know a couple of people that could fit that. So yeah, we're out talking already, and we'll see. Which, by the way, I should tell you that it would be a joy to have that. And if we were, we would, of course, try and make that available somehow as a resource for GAFCON. We already are. We just celebrated this month a year of working in with multi-language websites. We have it in Portuguese and Spanish. We really want to get into French and Swahili, possibly. How would people, if they wanted to get a hold of this book, what would they do?
Yes. At the moment, go to youthworksmedia.net.
Okay.
And in the search bar, just type in effective, and that will bring up the four translations of the workbook, the interactive PDF workbook, Effective Youth Discipleship.
Great. Fantastic. That's
And we would love to bless the French-speaking, the Swahili-speaking, the Kirundi-speaking world with that resource. And we've seen here in Sydney, as youth and children's ministers have used the English version, it has just given them clarity about why they do the things that they do as ministers to youth and children, and some biblically faithful, sharp ways to bring the scriptures to bear in intergenerational relationships. There's no silver bullet. What it is equipping beggars to tell other beggars where they've found food. And we've invited to eat for free at the banquet table of the Lord Jesus.
And it's interesting because it does kind of run contrary to some of the, what maybe I would classify as the world's methods. You know, it's not a mass audience type of method. You could conceivably see other ways that people would say, "Oh, have you tried this little gimmick or this trick?" But you know, it's. The master plan of evangelism, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Borrow the name of a title of a book.
Yeah.
I call shoe leather ministry. I mean, you know, it's just putting money in the bank is another way of saying it with young people. And I've seen it over and over and over again, how the what God can do in people's lives.
Absolutely. And certainly youth and children's ministers we've engaged with have found it tremendously liberating to know that they don't have to be the big personality youth guy that just attracts hundreds of people, which does draw a crowd, to be sure. Yeah. And God does in his sovereign wisdom use people with big personalities to draw people, and that's fine until the big personality guy or girl moves on.
Yeah.
Or, God forbid, has a moral failing, or someone down the road has a bigger personality youth guy. And another trap of pragmatics that we see youth and children's ministers falling into is needing to have a really big show, a really exciting
production.
Production, which under God can be used, and that's great, until a bigger show down the road opens up and the kids go there. And so what we're finding, those two pragmatic approaches are encouraging kids to be consumers, not disciples of the Lord Jesus, not committed to the local church, to the household of God, where they can be. So certainly in Sydney, what we find, the local church has a tremendous edge over our secular culture because there's almost nowhere else where you see young people, parents, and those of grandparent age all coming together at the same time in the same place. We've got these intergenerational relationships already there on a plate as God gathers his people around his word. And this is just a really simple way to activate our congregations for ministry and mission at very little cost.
Can I change gears here and just ask you, we only have a little bit of time left, but as the youth leader expert or the youth expert, what is some lingo that I can take to my daughter that can show her that I am so hip and I'm just really like on a cutting edge of youth lingo right now, but maybe it's Aussie lingo.
Yeah, I'm actually not going to answer that question, Ernie, because if I did, I would do you a great disservice. And here's why. What younger people want is authenticity. They can spot a fake a mile away.
That's right.
And if you or I try and be some young, hip, funky dudes, we're just going to get laughed at and mocked
totally
mercilessly.
Yeah.
So I'm actually not going to give you any Australian slang, mate. What I encourage you to do is just be yourself.
Yeah.
Just be authentic and have an other person-centered concern for the young people who are around you, whether they're your children, your grandchildren, your nephews, your nieces, or just the kids you see trying to nick the good biscuits at church morning tea. Just invest social and spiritual capital in them.
Yep.
One of the things we're seeing from some significant studies done in America through the Barna Institute, and that's borne out by our research here in Australia, is that where a young person has got five non-parental adults invested in their life, they are so much more likely to be sticking with Jesus into adulthood. So as we encourage the adults in our church to be just taking an interest in our young people, we're putting scaffolding around them, we're putting ballast in their tank as they have to sail through the storms of adolescence and into young adulthood. And under God, all other things being equal, the evidence says where a young person has got up to five adults doing that, discipling them to varying degrees, integrating them into the household of God, that young person, humanly speaking, is far more likely to be sticking with Jesus into adulthood. So I want to commend those matriarchs from your neck of the woods for the work they're doing.
And so what do you see right now? I mean, I've hear it and I see it, what I consider a crisis of loneliness. What are you seeing some of the challenges, particularly in this season of COVID, for young people?
Yeah, we're seeing their mental health outcomes fall off a cliff, if I can put it that boldly.
Yeah.
Talking to senior educators in the government Department of Education, they are desperately concerned about the mental health and well-being outcomes of young people as they've been locked away in homes, spending time on screens rather than in interpersonal relationships, just being out in God's creation that encourages them to look up and just ask, why? How? And ask those sorts of questions. In the church, it's always harder to believe than not to. In a world that doesn't know and love and trust and follow Jesus, but we're certainly finding woke culture is turning into a torrent that requires some courage for all of us, and particularly young people, to stand against. In the areas of particularly sexual ethics and sexual expression, that is a great contest where our culture and our young people and all of us have so much at stake.
What most resonates? This is the last parting question. We'll leave it on Jesus here. What most resonates to young people about Jesus as you work with them?
Oh, I can only give one thing. The The thing about the Christian faith is it stands apart from every other faith system in the supermarket of world beliefs and worldviews, because every other faith system is a religion where you have to do something to reach up to God. But Christianity is a relationship in which God has reached down to us, and Jesus treats all of us as individuals. He meets us where we are in our brokenness and offers us forgiveness and healing and hope and value and dignity and worth as we embrace him. Which aspect of Jesus resonates most with young people? It's different for each one. For some, it's his sovereign lordship over all. For other, it's knowing that the good shepherd himself has them in the palm of his hand. He's the ultimate man who shows us what real human life and human flourishing looks like. It's different for each person. But it's all centered on the Lord Jesus, who we encounter in the scriptures with the help of God's Spirit. So that's my prayer, that God will be working by his Spirit, through his word, through his people in the lives of the next generation, that they might succeed us as mature, lifelong, disciple-making disciples of Jesus.
Fantastic, encouraging words. I'm hoping that I can get some friends of mine to hear, and some fellow church members. I think it would resonate with them and challenge them as well. Craig Roberts, thank you so much. Craig, again, let me remind people that he's a network leader for the Youth and Children's Ministry of GAFCON, but also the CEO of Anglican Youth Works. And this month, he, and along with some members of his staff, youth ministers, have contributed to the devotionals, Lift Up Your Hearts, and you can get them all month of March, and you can listen to them on audio podcasts. It's free subscription, and you can also locate it on the webpage as well at GAFCON.
That's right. If you haven't had enough of my Aussie nasal twang, you can listen to me reading the devotions.
Well, good. That's right. Yeah, you and the are you reading them all, or
I'm gonna read them all, mate.
Oh, that's great. Very good. Well, Craig, thank you so much for your time today, and have a great day.
Thanks, Ernie. God bless.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
You have been listening to the Everyday Global Anglicans podcast, produced by GAFCON. Please visit gafcon.org to learn more about the many resources and work of GAFCON as we proclaim Christ faithfully.